Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. We are joined for the fullness of our hour together by the Reverend Michelle Harrison. She and her very fine husband, they are dear Christians, and they'll be planting a church on the northern side of the city in early September. And we've had the privilege of meeting and sharing some lovely time together. This is a delightful lady. Reverend Michelle Harrison, we welcome you to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, it is our pleasure, and it will be, I believe, a blessing to our audience. Pastor Michelle, would you prefer Pastor or Reverend Michelle?
It doesn't. It's a play on words. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, I instinctively say, you know, I learned growing up that Reverend is more properly for written communication and Pastor for mm-hmm. verbal or personal. So with that in mind, I'll address you as Pastor Michelle. I'm so pleased you are with us.
I appreciate
it. Praise God. You know, mm-hmm. I'd like for our audience to get a feel for who you are and where we are, a people of faith, you and I. So would you share with us your story of faith? How did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? How did you discern your calling into ministry? Let's take a few minutes and address your origins of faith.
Oh, wow. Well, thanks again for inviting me, and thank you for the opportunity to share. Oh, I was 23 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord, and my salvation experience was radical, if I might say, because it wasn't like your normal go down to the altar and give your heart to the Lord. It was more like a rescue, how the Lord had rescued me, because I was really sinking deep in sin. And I remember, I don't know if it's okay to say this, but you know, those moments when you want to kind of like end it all, it was like one of those moments for me. And I remember running back and forth in my bedroom, and I slammed back on my bed. And when I got up, I had been walking with Jesus Christ ever since. I went to church that Sunday, publicly confessed Christ in my heart, and I've been walking with him ever since.
Well, Pastor Michelle, if I may, prior to this crisis moment, which parlayed into a consummate blessing, were you a woman who had been raised in the church?
Well, no, not actually raised in the church, but I do have memories of me and my mother and my father and my brother going to church. Like, I have memories of my mother when she was in the kitchen always playing gospel music. So it was always around. But when I started getting older and in my teenager years, that's when, you know, the spirit of rebellion took place and I kind of went in a totally different direction. So, no, I actually wasn't, but it was always around.
Well, I no doubt had an underlying influence upon you. And at this critical moment, and I'm not asking that we explore precisely what that was, but what was it, I mean, what was it within you? Was there an individual who was encouraging you to go back to church? Was there an inward voice, the Spirit of God moving you? What was it that prompted you to the church that day?
Well, I always knew that there was a God. And at this point, being a teenager and a young adult, I had had my first son when I was 16. So I was homeless. I was alone. I was rejected. I was all by myself. And I remember moving into this apartment when I was about 23 or 22. And I remember looking always out the window. I could see that my life was changing, that things weren't the same. Like, I wasn't hanging with my friends like I used to. I was just looking out the window, and there had developed in me an emptiness, a sadness, because I did not have the best relationship with my mother growing up. So it was an emptiness there. But around the time when I actually gave my heart to the Lord and was experiencing this psychological and emotional experience was at the time when things had just hit rock bottom. And so I was no longer happy. I was no longer fulfilled. And I didn't know God was calling me, but I always knew there was a God. And I remember there was a time in my life when I would cry and ask God to help me because I was always so lonely. I didn't really have that family love that, you know, most get, and some people, you know, experience what I experienced too. But I do remember always crying out to God, asking God to help me. And at this point, when I had that experience, I know and believe that I was just at the end of my rope. I had a boyfriend who is my husband now, and I've been married for 39 years, but at the time he was my boyfriend. And so, you know, with a lot of drugs and smoking and just doing things of the flesh, it just had reached this boiling point to where it no longer satisfied. And I could literally feel myself at that time really sinking deep in sin. And it was like the Holy Spirit literally grabbed me from out of the grips of the devil's hand. Because when I thought back on that bed that day, which was July the 26th, 1984, when I got up, I never looked back. That following Sunday, I went to church, publicly went down and gave my heart to the Lord, and I have been running for the Lord ever since.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor Michelle. I shared this broadcast with a guest last week who had spent 45 years in prison, and for him, mm-hmm. it was a moment in 1983 during which he entrusted his life to Jesus Christ while behind bars. For you, mm-hmm. it was 1984, so I'm giving glory to God that the early 80s has proven to be a very lucrative year for the gospel now in Philadelphia. You know, two of the finest servants of Christ came to faith at roughly the same time frame. Now, let me ask you, once you entrusted your life to Christ, you knew enough by God's grace to go to church. From that mm-hmm. moment, what was playing out? Was it the fellowship? Was it the preached word? What was happening that allowed you to get your feet on steady ground and enabled you to grow and to deepen in Christ himself?
Well, for starters, let me just say I was just so happy to be saved. And so when I went to church, well, I had been to a few churches before I actually went to this church that shaped my spiritual direction. But I will start at the church where I started to develop. One of the things that started happening was, you know, I just loved going to church. I wasn't looking to be anything. I wasn't even looking to do anything. But I remember the Lord speaking to me in a dream. And I remember saying no, but I always liked the school. I always liked the idea of pencil and paper. So I was always learning about God, always reading, always, you know, digging deeper, but I didn't think much of it. I just thought, you know, because this is what I like to do, this is what I was doing. And I remember when the Lord, when it finally came to my understanding that the Lord was calling me, I literally ran. I didn't call it running, but now in retrospect, I can see that's what I was doing because I didn't fully surrender until about 2 to 3 years ago when I simply told the Lord yes. But then I saw how the Holy Spirit was gradually taking me from one step to the next. And I remember my pastor at the time, it was a group of us that were going to be deaconesses, and we were having a meeting. And I said, I don't believe the Lord called me to be a deaconess. And those in the room were, you know, a little shocked. And so I said, I don't think the Lord has called me to be a deaconess. I believe he has called me at that point to be an evangelist. And so, you know, gradually going on and attending church and serving God, the Lord just started elevating me. And I remember going to seminary, and I don't even know why, but I went to undergrad, a school called CUT, Center for Urban Theological Studies. So I went to CUT and got a bachelor's degree.
I know it well. It's a very fine program.
Yes, yes. And then I wind up going into seminary. But I didn't necessarily go into seminary to be a pastor. All of this was just basically for education, to know more about God. And it began to get a little scary because the more I tried to run, the more I could not run. And I laugh every now and again when I think about it because I was doing home health care, and I felt like, oh, well, you know, I'm still ministering, I'm still serving, knowing that God had called me, but I couldn't believe it. And so I remember having a meeting with my former pastor, and he said to me, do you believe God is calling you to be a pastor? And I said, no. He said, why? I said, because I'm too short. He said that has nothing to do with it. But I still did not submit to the actual call. And so a couple of years ago, nothing worked. I mean, no matter what I did, it did not work. I went to work. I go to work every day, a model, you know, employee, and every client I had, either they died or so it did not work. So I had just got to the point where I said, Lord, okay, I'll surrender. But don't forget that when I said that, I tried to go back to work again, and I got this real excruciating pain in my side, as if to say, if you go outside of my will this time, not going to be good for you.
Well, if I may interject, that moment of surrender is critical, and I want us to explore it further, which is something you've begun to do. But we need to do so on the other side of the commercial divide, okay? So Pastor Michelle Harrison and Brad Lacey with the great message, we return in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Michelle Harrison sharing the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Harrison, you've been sharing with us of your coming to faith and your coming into a sense of calling to ministry. If I could just back up for a moment, just a couple of extrapolations from our conversation and from your story. You mentioned that when you were amidst a critical moment in your life, you began to cry out to God. And I've learned something over time. You know, when we pray to God, this is not to minimize more conventional prayer. Far from it. It's of the utmost significance. But when we pray to God and we petition His throne, we may have to wait in line for the answer. God is working through that time of waiting. But I have found that when we cry out to God from our heart, from our gut, from our bowels, He answers immediately. And clearly you were crying from down, way down deep.
Yes.
And God responded to your cry. This is right out of the Bible. You're living in Bible times, if you will, with this experience of God. Praise the Lord. And also, I remember my wife found herself, this was well before I knew her. She's with Jesus now. But in her earlier years, she got into some trouble and had children out of wedlock, and she began crying out to God, and God heard her cry and led her into a small Assembly of God fellowship. And she told me that it was within that context that two things were given to her. And there are two things you're going to be providing in your forthcoming ministry. She said, I was fed on the Word of God, something I had never received before. And I found a nurturing, loving, hospitable fellowship, something she had never had before. And these things you're going to be providing to your forthcoming congregants in a very short period of time. But now you've had to do one more thing. You entrusted your life to Christ, but you still had to, in ultimate, fundamental, definitive terms, surrender your will to the Lord God Almighty. And so if you'd pick up afresh with this, and you were beginning to go back to your former mode, and the Lord was telling you, no way, Jose, pick up from there, please.
Yeah, so like I was saying, you know, every client I would have, like every job I would get, they would never laugh. Even though I was a model employee, even though I came to work one time, they just would not laugh. And I remember one time back in 2001, and this was right before I went to undergrad, that I was at my computer and I kept feeling like, why do I feel so unfulfilled? Like, why I just cannot get it together on the inside? So that's when I wound up signing up for CUTS, Center for Urban Theological Studies, and I went and I got my bachelor's degree. But in between that time and now, you know, I had jobs that did not last. But this last scenario, when I went back to work as a home health aide, I would get clients, but the clients will never last. And when I would think, oh, wow, you know, this one, I'm going to have this client for a long time, you know, because I wanted to work. I liked the idea of working. And that part of God calling me was kind of like on the back burner. And every now and again, I will chuckle and kind of laugh and say, he sat back and he said, go ahead. I'm going to let you go ahead and buy your uniforms and buy your shoes. And I'm going to let you go ahead and do what you do. But I know what I've called you to do. And so this last time, when the company was actually closing that I worked for, I called my boss and I told my boss, I said, Denise, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm just going to go into full-time ministry. She said, oh, my God. She said, I just had another friend of mine tell me they were going to do that. She said, oh, you're about to make me cry. I said, yeah, I'm going to go into full-time ministry. I'm going to go and do what God had called me to do. But within that time, I, you know, still had that urge. I want to work. So I remember trying to, I had the interview all set up. And I wasn't feeling well, but I was still going to try and do this interview. And I got this pain in my body that said, if you go outside of my will, it's not going to be good for you. And that's when I said, Lord, okay, I surrender. But then I got to a place not even long ago where even though I said the word surrender, I didn't quite surrender. But now I'm at the place where I totally surrendered my will, my dreams, my aspirations, all that I thought I wanted, or even if I still want those things, I gave those things to God and gave God all of me. So, you know, my experience from the time I got saved to even up to this time has showed me when in retrospect that the Lord was always with me. And I said the other day that I should have known better to think that God will rescue me, because my salvation was a rescue. To think that God will rescue me for me to go back and give all of what he has given me to the world. No, he rescued me so that I would give all that he has given me back to him for his glory. And I can never thank God for saving me, for rescuing me. There are times when I literally cry because I was homeless. I had a son. I squatted. There were places that were abandoned that I lived in. And when I look back, and I remember crying, saying, Lord, I want a home. And I broke down, and everything within me just broke. And I couldn't see my way out of my situation. And every time I think about how God has blessed me and blessed me with my beautiful home, I just, there's no words that I could express on how thankful I am to what God has done. So the trajectory that I've experienced and the one that I'm on now is amazing, because I believe that now God is going to do greater things. I believe he's going to do miracles and signs. And so my salvation experience, I would say, was like no other. It was radical. It was an emergency. It was a snatch out of the kingdom of darkness.
Well, if I may, I think of, as I'm listening to your story, I think of the text from the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Colossian church, speaking of Christ, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom there is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the Apostle himself speaks in terms of rescue. Now, in that letter, of course, he's applying it broadly to the whole church. By God's grace, you're able to apply it to your own particular story. You know, my lovely wife, and again, she's now with the Lord, but she was just an incomparable and impeccable helpmate to me for going on 26 years in married life and ministry. She would speak of her earlier years in a similar vein to yours. She wasn't homeless, per se, but she found herself in a very desperate place. And for her, her salvation was also, in very dramatic terms, a rescue. The mm-hmm. two of you, I think, would have, when you're in heaven with her, when we all get mm-hmm. to heaven, as the great hymn sings, you ladies can share some stories together. There's a lot yes. of commonality there. God loves rescue opportunities.
Yes.
He truly
yes.
does.
He do.
And if I may just add, before we go to the break, when you did come to that moment of complete surrender, I want to think of the great South African devotional writer from the late 19th century, Andrew Murray. He wrote a classic text.
Oh,
you know Murray. Praise God.
Well,
have you come across this text entitled Absolute Surrender?
Absolute Surrender.
There you go. You're living that out now. And I often quip, and then we go to the break. What does Jesus Christ have in common with Frank Sinatra, or vice versa? Sinatra wrote that and sang that wonderful song, "All or Nothing at All," and that's Christ's intent with us. He wants all or nothing of us, or nothing. And you've now given him all. Praise God. Yes. Brad Lacey and Pastor Michelle Harrison. We return with another round of the great message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Michelle Harrison returning with a third round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Michelle, having been duly subservient to our Lord and Savior, having responded to his call to salvation, his call to ministry and its attendant preparation, you are now preparing to embark upon a whole new venture. Indeed, this is the context by which you and I met. In my role as president of the Bible Society, I was able to put scripture materials in your hand for outreach. You're going to start a church with your fine husband. I believe your debut is Sunday, September 7th. So tell us about this venture, how you came into an awareness to do this, what it's been requiring of you, and lead us up to September 7th, please.
Well, I've learned that timing is everything. And as we were talking previously, and I stated how I was constantly running from this call, this ministry that me and my husband are about to start, which is titled Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire Outreach Ministry, comes from a book that had a profound impact on me, and that book was by Pastor Cimbala. It was called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire.
Out of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. Mm-hmm. I know it well, yes. Have you ever been there, by the way?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yep, I went one Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful. We used to take bus trips up there on Sunday afternoons.
We went on a bus trip.
I've been to one of the Tuesday night prayer meetings.
We went one Tuesday.
It's a wonderful church.
It is. And his book was very impactful to me. When I started really sensing that the Lord was calling me, I had ran into a friend, and she was starting a ministry. And we began to talk about ministry, and I began to share my vision and things of that nature. And this ministry that is about to move forward, the 7th of September, really was a ministry that I started in 2011. And in 2015, after I had graduated from seminary, I had tried to start a church. But when I look back, I can see at that time I wasn't quite ready. What God has given me for Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire is centered around Matthew 28:18-20 and the book of Acts chapter 2. And the Lord began to show me that life was more about people than it was about just being in the church. And he began to deal with me and give me the vision about how to reach people, not just locally, but to train people and teach people how to witness even globally. Because my discipline was in urban missions. And so I had learned about missions and I had learned about missionary work at one point within my studies. We went to Uganda and we stayed for 9 days and we was over there doing a little bit of missionary work. And so this ministry came about for people to come to know Christ. I guess if you would say the theme of it or the vision of it is for people to come to know Christ. And once they come to know Christ and give their hearts to the Lord, that they will grow from the word of God, which is the seed. And after they grow from knowing Christ and growing from the seed of God's word, that it will begin to exemplify itself in their lives. And once they become disciples, then they can go and disciple someone else. So the actual vision is to know, grow, show, and go. And that is the vision to raise people up individually, to come to know Christ passionately, and to move out and make disciples. So this is how Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire came about. It's to build a community of love, but it's centered around educating. It's centered around discipleship. And I think that's where a lot of times we might have dropped the ball. People come to church and they give their heart to the Lord. And then sometimes there's some follow-up, but a lot of times we got to walk with them until they're able to, you know, stand strong. So we're looking forward to our launch on September the 7th, and we're excited about what the Lord is doing because we want to nurture people. We want to equip them to do the work of the ministry that God has called all of us to do.
Well, Pastor, if I may, you did mention you took a trip to Uganda, is that right, in Africa?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I mention that is you'll be very intrigued. I know that you and your fine husband are coming to our luncheon next week at First Baptist Church.
Yes.
In Conshohocken. There'll be a gentleman there. He's a colleague of mine from Phoenixville, and he has just returned from Uganda.
Oh, okay.
Every year, his church does a work in Uganda. Part of their work is the dissemination of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you'll enjoy. I'll make a point to introduce the two of you.
I appreciate
it.
Yeah.
In fact, these luncheons, I might add, the original impetus behind them is to bring churches from the city together with churches from the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
They don't often meet.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Pastor Dan McDowell from the suburbs and Pastor Michelle Harrison from the city. I'll certainly make certain that the two of you meet.
Absolutely.
That being said, let me ask you a very significant question. Mm-hmm. You're a gal from West Philly.
Yes.
Philadelphia, look, I come from Boston. I'm a born and bred Bostonian. Boston is it's a cosmopolitan city, but it's also a small, geographically small city. Philadelphia is this vast expanse of territory.
Mm-hmm.
To go from the outermost tip of Northeast Philly to the outermost tip of Southwest Philly, you might as well be traveling from France to China. I mean, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
What takes a girl from West Philly, how is it you find yourself planting a church in the northern tier of Philadelphia?
You know, it's funny because I really don't know how that happened other than God, because I never in a million years imagined living in West Philly. When I was looking for a home, West Philly was the last place that I was looking for.
Well, where were you from originally?
I was from North Philly. I was near...
Oh, you were from North Philly, okay.
I'm originally from North Philly. And when I was looking for a home, West Philly was never, ever on my radar. I would always look everywhere else, but I never even considered West Philly. And the Lord is so amazing, because I remember everybody in my family around 2005 and 2004 were getting a home. And I had cried out to the Lord because I had wanted a home. And I remember crying, and I had this tantrum, and because I had just found out my niece had purchased a house, my nephew purchased a house, everybody, and I was still living in the projects. And I remember crying, and I cried so hard, I think my heart almost bust. And the Lord said to me, I could tell this story 100 times over the same way. He said, Michelle, I want you to have a house just like everybody else, but you have to get your credit right like everybody else and save your money and do what you need to do. And so once I started moving in that direction, things just started coming in the mail, and I found out about this new development. And the Lord blessed me to move into a brand new home nobody has ever lived in but me and my family, and it just happened to be in West Philly. What happened was is that I gave a women's conference this year, and a friend of mine told me about this event and conference center. And the conference went so well, and I heard the Lord said, now is your time. And so, because I was thinking about doing a mentor class there. I wasn't thinking about starting a church. I was thinking about doing a mentor class there. So I asked the lady that worked there about it. To make a long story short, she had called me, but at the time her prices were too high. And so I hadn't heard from her. So I said, well, let me call them and see what's going on. So when I called, I wound up getting the owner. And she said that she would call me back, but she didn't call me back when she said she would. So I said, okay, well, maybe that's not God's will. And so they wound up calling me back a couple of days later. So I was talking to them about the place to, you know, start the ministry. And I said, Lord, if you open up this door, because I could be very indecisive. I'm always on the edge of caution. I always rethink and overthink and underthink. I just think too hard on things. But I said, Lord, if you open up this door, I'll go through it. And sure enough, they called me back. And the price was reasonable, and everything just seemed to work. And so that's how I wound up there in that community. But then when I went to actually surface or look within the community, I could see that there's a desperate need for God's word, for salvation, because it's a very busy area, homes, malls, all of that. And one of the stores that I went in, and I began to look at the people, and also to back up a little bit, I was trying to figure out why every time I looked at people, my heart would hurt. I thought that was strange. But then that was another way of me realizing that God was calling me. But to wind up in West Philly and to do ministry in that particular area, it pretty much happened when I gave my women's conference in that area.
Well, it's very interesting to me because a few weeks ago, right around the time I met you and your husband, I had to do a scripture delivery to a church over in North Philly. And I met the pastor, lovely man, and we were chatting. And he was telling me, ironically, that he was originally from West Philly and found himself ministering in North Philly. And I relate to this, and I'll tell you why. Having been a born and bred Bostonian, or being one, I had a love affair with the city of Boston. I would have loved to have done my ministry in Boston. But there's something to the kingdom of God that I'm not saying it's exhaustive to everyone, but there is something. You look at Abraham. He was called to take up and go. There's something about God uprooting us from where we are and planting us in another locale. It's somehow germane to his purpose and to our growth. But I won't dogmatize that, but you're returning now to your roots, having ministered in West Philly. We have one more round, Pastor Michelle. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Pastor Michelle Harrison returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Michelle, we've been making reference to your fine husband, but we have heretofore yet to actually name him. What's your husband's name?
My husband's name is Calvin Harrison.
Calvin. Now, is Calvin also ordained, or is he works alongside of you?
He's an evangelist.
He's an evangelist.
Yes, he's an evangelist. And we work together in the ministry.
Well, it was evident to me when you received me into your home, and it was such a lovely time for me. I relaxed with you. We got to know one another. I just loved your hospitality. It was obvious to me that the two of you work in tandem. You work as partners, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. If you will allow me this aside, you also introduced me to someone else in your home. Would you care to share with the audience who that is?
That is Miss Muffin, my dog, my multi-poo, the sweetest dog in the world. Little Miss Muffin, she's going fine.
Well, praise God.
Fine.
She was a sweetheart. She received me very warmly as well. You know, I think it was the next day. It must have been the next day. Right in the same vicinity of time, I had to do another scripture drop-off in West Philly, and I met this lovely lady. She lived in an apartment complex, and she had a little doggy named Dottie, and that little dog didn't want me to leave. So what I think, you know, animals can be very warmly disposed creatures, but they also tend to take on the personalities of their masters and mistresses. And so I want you to know that Muffin's expression of hospitality to me confirmed that your hospitality was not merely a veneer, but very substantive. So I would imagine, Pastor Michelle, that you and your husband will take that spirit of hospitality and apply it to your ministry. So you have already shared with us the philosophy behind your church plant. Build upon this a bit more. What do you want to see happen?
Well, with Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, one of the things that we are looking to do, the reason for its existence is to nurture and equip men and women to do the work of ministry. Our philosophy is we believe that all Christians are called to minister in some capacity. And we think and believe and know that since there is a working knowledge of Scripture that is necessary for these things to happen, we together want to build up people to fulfill the Great Commission. We want to build up people to go, but not only go, but we want them to know Christ passionately. and to know Christ personally, not just know church, not just know how to get up on Sunday morning and come to church, but to know God in an intimate way, that he is personal in your life, to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. And so what we want to do is train and teach. We don't want it to be just a community or atmosphere of entertainment. We want it to be an atmosphere of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. And so we look forward to teaching. We look forward to building a community of love and unity, a community where people can know and grow and understand the scriptures about Jesus Christ, not just church, but also understand that they are the church. And that God has called each and every one of us to be a part of his body, to be doing something. And so that's what we're looking forward to doing, equipping and helping Christians and even new babes to come to know Christ, to mature spiritually and to allow the word, once we teach it, for them to understand that the word of God is life-changing. It's not just a book, but it's a book that's very much alive with power, that can change their lives, bring them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So that's what we're looking forward to do. That's our aim, nothing more, nothing less, but to help people come to know Christ.
Now, what have you been doing preliminary to your church start on September 7? Are you been putting flyers out? Are you doing what kind of advance work are you doing?
As we speak, I actually have a Tuesday morning prayer line that I post on Facebook. Tuesday mornings, Conversations with God from 7 o'clock to 7:30. Not only that, but I do a live Bible study every Thursday from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. on Facebook. Also, I do a women's Bible study every Monday from 7 o'clock to 8 p.m. How we get the ministry out there is by posts on Facebook and Instagram. We continuously tell people about the ministry. And so we're actually, you know, putting it out in those particular avenues through my Bible studies, through prayer and posting the actual flyer that was developed for that particular day, September the 7th.
And it is certainly my hope, Pastor Michelle, that this broadcast is helpful to that end also. Are you and your husband, I would assume that you have some people working with you in preparation for this startup?
Absolutely. It's me, my husband, and the Holy Spirit that are getting ourselves
Hey, that'll do it, right?
Listen, when you have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you and helping you, because you know what? We always want a lot of people. But the Lord said to me and showed me, he said, when I called Moses, there was nobody. When I called Abraham, it was just Abraham. So the Lord had to show me, when I call you, I'm with you. And so it's me, the Holy Spirit, and my husband that are doing this.
Well, and if I may encourage you, and I've learned this the hard way over time, I've relearned the lesson this year. Thank God for people, but you do not look to people. You look to the Lord.
Yes.
And I will tell you a story. In January of 2018, I don't usually lie in bed, but this morning I was. And as I was lying there, the voice of the Lord spoke to me, and it was clearly God speaking to me. I just have to ask you and the audience to trust me, and if there are people who don't believe in this kind of thing, no offense intended, but I'm simply telling you what happened. And the voice of God said to me, out of the blue, you will look to me for everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand what that meant in the immediate. I mean, I did, but in terms of its ramifications.
Yeah.
It is now 7, going on 8 years later, and at every turn, the meaning of those words, it continues to expand.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned it all over again this year.
Mm-hmm.
You look to God for all things.
Mm-hmm.
You look to God for your satisfaction. You look to God for your direction. You look to God for everything you need. And he does provide. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And I will also encourage you. I have a very fruitful ministry with my lovely little fellowship, as I am wont to call them. We're a very small church, and yet God's hand is upon us. And not only does he bless us, Pastor Michelle, but he uses us in his service to very fruitful ends. Now, please, in 30 seconds or thereabouts, we're just about at an end, but in about 30 seconds, what's a word you would like our audience to hear?
I think the word that I would like your audience to hear is faithfulness. Remain faithful. When God calls you to do something, there are times you will feel uncertain, not sure, but God is faithful. And every word in the Bible, every promise that God gave, he keeps. I don't know who's listening. I don't even know where they're at in their journey or even if they're in a journey. But if they are, be faithful and trust the faithfulness of God. And that's what we are doing as we launch out.
Praise God. You know, I say this in a very sweet, affectionate way. I don't mean it literally. But if you go to the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians, the seventh fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I've often felt that it should be advanced up to the top four. But again, I'm saying that sweetly to accentuate the import of faithfulness. God bless you, Pastor Michelle.
Bless you.
Pastor Michelle Harrison with her church startup on September 7th. Be praying for her, please. This is Brad Lacey with The Great Message. We thank you for listening.